Welcome to Star for the Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I run SFB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Josh Meinhardt joins me at TalkCast every Thursday starting 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either call on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions. The call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the Talk's website at www.talkshow.com and search for call ID 17702 or Starfleet Universe On Call. Or you can join us over on twitch.tv/SFU On Call. Yes, we are on twitch.tv. We co-broadcast there. You can see my lovely face as you listen to my beautiful voice. And if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. It's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, if you want to follow me on Twitter, yes, well, Twitter still exists. It still does so far. Elon Musk hasn't completely killed it. And my account there is sfuoncall. It's sfuoncall. Also, you want to follow me, my personal account, that's Paul Franz, PaulFranz. Just a reminder that if you follow me there, which you might not see many posts these days because traffic for me has gone down quite a bit for other people that post there, which I usually reply to their posts. But anyway, I am very proud to be a Catholic, a very much an O's fan, and of course, I love all kinds of technology. And of course, there is my business account. There is Franz Games, FranzGames. And of course, this lovely TalkCast gets into a podcast available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. When it comes to A2B, not much going on there. They actually had their Cyber Monday sale and they extended it on to Tuesday. And unfortunately, now it's Thursday. So I wasn't able to tell you that. And happens, I think, every year is that they do that, and I, because it's right after Thanksgiving, and I don't even see it until I forget if they posted on. I think they posted on Cyber Monday, but and I didn't. I forget that they do it every year. So anyhow, moving on forward, just moving on to the Star SFB Online tournament, which is the Sapphire Star 12 tournament. We've got 3 out of 4 games done in round 2. We do have a final game. Semi-final game lined up. But we're still waiting for the one game on round 2 to be completed. But we might be needing a substitute because of somebody, you know, they have not gotten their game completed in time. When it comes to the library report, not much going on there. No updates on either the SFB or FedCom libraries. So with that, that is the news for this week. And it's me, it's Savannah, Paul Franz, welcoming you to Star for the Universe On Call. And tonight, well, it's just me and we've got Dave in the chat room, and that chat room. There's multiple chat rooms here. And for those of you that haven't already figured it out, the best one is going to be over there, which when I point over that direction, that's where my iPad is. That's where Twitch is. So that's where I can see the chat room from Twitch. So I see a new person I have not seen before. Wow, there's Chris. I'm assuming Dave's already over there because he normally is. So tonight I figured we would start the evening, and that's just starting this evening. I don't plan on having the full program, which is just some quick, you know, Christmas ideas. I'll do the first quick ones, which I do every year, and of course you can blame me for this, you know, because I run SFB Online and FedCom Online, which is, of course, getting a gift certificate for SFB Online or FedCom Online, or for both. You can do both, and then the tough part, and I'll admit this, and I apologize for this now, which is I don't have it set up so that it works with renewals. You can use it for renewals. Just email me, contact me. I will be more than happy to apply any gift card, any gift certificates to a person's already active account. And if they pay for FedCom Online, you have SFB Online, I'd be happy to leave it at SFB Online if you want that. Or if you want to switch to FedCom Online. Remember, if they get both, then you can get both. You can play both at the same time. But, you know, I don't have it set up so that if you have SFB Online and you buy FedCom Online, then you have both. You can if you want me to, but you have to contact me about that. Currently, the system is that then it switches you to FedCom Online and it extends your subscription. That's the way it's currently set up. Just a reminder. That's one quick one. Another one, of course, and I've suggested this in the past for those who love to roll those mighty dice, which of course is a dice boot. I've got one which I really like it because of it is plastic and it's pretty thin. You can easily take it apart and put it back together, and it makes it very, very easy to move, you know, to take with you to any gaming session that you have. Obviously, another one, which is, I'm not sure if they have this. I apologize if they don't, which is, of course, Shapeways. That's always a good one. Ah, yes. I forgot. It's one that Dave suggests every year too, which is artesiandice.com, which had these beautiful, I've shown you guys to them in the past, and actually let me do this, which is da-da-da-da-da. Oops, I spelled that wrong. No, I spelled it right. Artisan, not artesian, artisandice.com. I apologize. Art is...
Either way, it could be over. Just saying.
Oh, understood. Give me a sec. What I want to do is go like. Okay, I think I got that right. Yep, I did. Dun, dun, dun. Just want to put it on the video feed for those of you that are watching the video, which is some of these beautiful, beautiful dice that Dave recommends every year, and I can't help but say, yeah, if you're a dice person, this is the place to go for dice. They have all kinds of beautiful, they've got some steel dice, some brass dice, tungsten dice, nickel, some black Damascus. I think that's not Damascus, Damascus, sorry. I'm sorry, I've watched too many Forged in Fire episodes, and I know about Damascus, which is interesting. Have you ever watched that, Doug?
I would say that.
Forged in Fire?
Talking about cutting edge stuff.
Even brass, copper, I would never get copper because, Lord knows, someone might just steal the copper dice just for the copper. Aluminum, you know, come on. Okay, let's bring it up, which is, I want to look up one, which is, they have titanium dragon dice, dragon's dice. I'm just curious. I was wondering if they had any, Because the one, oh, there it is. And they cost $83 for okay, that's. Oh, okay. If you want a polyhedral set, it's $412 for a set of tungsten dice. If you want 6D6, that'll cost you $180. For one D20 is $83. You want to talk about the high end? Whoa.
As opposed to like the exact opposite end of why I really got into gaming in the beginning. You know, because like, you know, $25 to buy a board game and you're going to have it forever and play it forever and it's like pennies per hour.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that buying one set of those dice would be like, probably more money than I spent on games the first, like, decade of playing games.
Yeah, well, again, it's titanium. So it's understandable that they're a little expensive.
The high end of people who wait for money to spend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If I could afford those days, I wouldn't really care about the price.
I understand. We have some jade dice inlaid with brass. I'm going to... Oh, boy. And again, looks like if you want a full polyhedron set, that'll cost you $428. And 6D6, only $257. 4DF, I'm not sure. It's just weird. And one D20 is $84. So, yeah, to say the very least, these are not cheap dice, but they're beautiful. They're, you know, they're absolutely beautiful. Now,
I believe there are Shapeways where they have beautiful SFB miniatures.
Oh yeah, I would definitely. Personally, I probably would go for the miniatures just because it's cheaper. Let's look at this, which is they have reliquary game cases, which if I'm just gonna look at this for a moment. Oh. Yeah, so basically the idea is that you can have inserts. Oh, some looks like this can be quite expensive. I will let it go at this point. For those of you who don't want to spend a fortune on their Oh, agreed. Ah, yes. Okay. Let me bring that up just because Dave mentioned it. Ah, there it is. Okay. It's called The Dice Shop Online. No, I don't want the newsletter. Bring it up for you guys.
Oh, yeah, better.
Yeah. This gets. Okay, the only thing I might have to do here. No. Goofball. I love you.
Hello, kitty.
Say goodbye. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Now, the only question I have about, let's switch the currency from British pounds to American dollars. I'm just hoping the shipping costs won't be too bad. But yeah, here's an Impact Unleashed Arcana Frostfire Dungeon Crawl Classics DCC 14 dice set, which looks like it's has a different, what does it have? It has 14 dice, has a Roman numeral D3, have a top read on D4, and you have a D5, D6, D7, D8, D10, D percentage, D12, D14, D16, D20, D24, and D30. So it's a nice collection of dice. And it's not too bad. It's only $30 for that. There looks like they're very nice dice. Obviously, these are a lot more reasonably priced dice.
Excuse me. Yes, you. Goodbye.
If I have to, I'll lock you out. I've had to do that sometimes with Lexi, lock him out. Pretty. Got some clear dice, looks like encased skull dice. That's kind of neat. Ooh, I like these kind of. Which is the Meta Arcanist. Those look kind of cool. Metal Fire Forge. Metal Gears. Yeah. Kind of neat ones. I like them. Personally, I like the way the metal ones look. How they roll? Don't know. Because that's... See, I'm not sure about y'all. But... For me, the big thing about dice is, I usually like to get dice that have a certain feel to them. Because that's one of the things that you actually throw. Now, I'm not saying that if someone gave me a nice set of dice that I would just throw them out. I would not. Especially, if I'm playing a game a lot and that use dice, which these days I haven't done that much die throwing myself. Usually it's virtual dice. But yeah, I agree with Dave when it comes to the artisan dice. That one's definitely, I'm not so sure you would play with those dice. I think those would be nice for a display case. Because Lord knows, I'm just looking at how expensive those things are. I can't imagine having a set of 6 D6 dice, which cost over $120, and actually playing with them, you know? Okay.
Definitely puts a new scavenger hunt kind of thing when you can't find one of them. Your gaming set.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
here's my D12. It's only $300 die.
Yep. Actually, I'm looking at this one where it's
might be able to play with
this one right here on the Dice Shop online, and it's a TDSO Metal Hollow Gear Iridescent Rainbow D20 dice, and that's $20 for one die. So it's pretty. The problem, it looks nice. I'm not so sure I want to use it because of it's hollow. You know, I'm not sure how the way it would roll would be really weird, I think. I definitely would want solid dice in my mind. But anyway, okay. Obviously, for the board.
They're novelties.
Yeah. For the board game player in your life. You know, nice set of dice, always a good thing. Obviously, some other neat ideas would be, which what gamer doesn't like it when you actually upgrade their games. If you know of a person who plays like a certain game, and I'm sure you can easily find on the internet upgrading their game pieces from, you know, whatever is included in the game box, which might be plastic or cardboard, you know, upgrade them to like wooden. Like if they're, you know, what I'm thinking about is some of the circular ones where you have kind of chips and so forth. Upgrade kits for, I'm thinking of Puerto Rico. If they like Puerto Rico, I know there's upgrade kits for Puerto Rico. And they're kind of expensive compared to the original cost of the game. But if you play it a lot, you really appreciate having the high quality pieces to play with. You really do. Another thing, obviously, we're talking about SFB here, which is a tactical board game. Another one, guys, remind me, and I'm sure you'll. Is it Chessex? Chessex is dice. Sorry. Or do they also have the large maps? Yeah, they're just dice. I forget who makes the multiple the large maps that you can either put miniatures on or usually miniatures, or you can ADB also sells the 1-inch counters for certain ones.
I thought ADB had that. Do they not have that in their shop anymore? Yeah, I remember buying those from them decades ago.
Oh, you mean the 1-inch counters?
No, I mean the huge maps, the huge hex map. I thought we got those from them ages ago, but that stuff was lost when I moved back in 2019.
Oh, understood. I don't think so, but...
That's... I remember having that. I had those to use.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I've got...
I didn't have the 1-inch, but I had the large map.
Yeah, I've got a couple of the vinyl maps that roll up. Maps. Okay, they got definitely large-scale maps. Of course.
If you really wanted to, you could get the map on a PDF and take it to a printer for custom print size.
That's fine as long as it is expandable. You know, it's a vector. The only one I've seen that's really that large was the one for game that was in beta that I brought to Gamers of Winter or Summer one time. Merchant of the Federation. That's it.
Yeah. Oh, Starmada?
No. Merchant of the Federation.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that was just a couple years ago.
More than a couple years ago now. It's been like five or more. And the worst thing about that game is that it has never progressed since the initial output. First beta of the game, I've not seen any work done on that game whatsoever. You know, which drives me crazy. Of course, yeah.
Maybe they didn't get the feedback that they wanted. That they were expecting.
That'd be my guess.
That could be a possibility.
Agreed.
I mean, there's been projects I've started in the past where, you know, it's like zilch feedback or minimal feedback, and it's like, oh, nobody cares. Okay. Just move on to something else.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Rather than
Understood.
Telling myself over something that no one.
Well, and agreed. And I have to talk with Steve Cole about it, because I was still maybe something also Steve Cole, you know, found out basically that thing, which was it was not that well received, i.e. have not gotten enough feedback from playtesters. I've provided some feedback because I had some questions about it. There's still some rules questions, which I posted on the Board Games Geek, which I don't think I've ever gotten a response on. This is like 4 years later. You know, I have to double check whether I posted it or not, which was, I know I've mentioned it before on the podcast, which was the whole issue with Mistress of the Federation, which is, okay, you got a maintenance cost for your ships. Problem. What happens if you run out of money? What happens then? What happens if you can't pay for the maintenance cost of your ships? And I'll have to double check, but I feel pretty confident in saying that I never saw an answer to that question. Because I would think that there has to be consequences. It's one of those, because obviously the game was designed. Yes.
I mean, you know, consequences could be anything. It could be that, you know, you have a degradation in capability.
Agreed.
It can't be used because guys on strike, you know, hey, we're not going because this thing's going to fall apart.
Yeah.
It could be anything they want it to be.
But
on the other hand, they might not be developing it for lack of feedback while they have focus on other things.
Yeah, but Doug, this was...
It's hard.
I'll double check, but I could have sworn this was when the first game came out. When I first got into beta, it was in the first month that I had this question. I saw the big freaking hole sitting in the rules. Because the rules were designed with a certain mindset that, you know, that, okay, you don't want to run out of the maintenance costs. Well, you want to make sure you always have money for maintenance. It's like, well... What happens? You don't. You know. So. Anyhow, yeah. AV doesn't have any maps except for the large scale F&E map, which is $135. The rest are they have the map panels, and of course, the SFB. The 1.25-inch module W space battle map. And does it say? Okay, there it's a 46-inch by 38-inch map. And if I call, ignore me at the moment. I don't see it. My guess is that's a paper map and not a vinyl map. I forget who creates. Dave was mentioning the module H1, H2. Those module H1, H2s, those were the large counters. Large counter sheets. Which were always cool. And you could use those for the large maps. Which is also really cool. The great thing for those with F&E players, the great things about this large scale map here, costs $135 if it's unlaminated. Now, if you want laminated, it costs you an additional $60. But be honest, you know, I would say get it laminated, and yes.
The module H1 and H2 came with the maps, didn't they?
I don't think so.
Yes, they did. I'm looking right at it. SFB Starfleet Battles Module H1-H2 Mega Counters and Mats. Includes 321-inch counters, 6 large mat panels with 1 1/4-inch hexes. 5 full-color planet cutouts.
Okay. Okay,
I
so
had that way back. I don't think that's quite what I was thinking of when I was talking about the larger, the hex size, the mega hex size type of thing.
But right, right.
They did have that product. I think I did have that.
I don't think they ever did. Well, I bought vinyl maps at Origins. From different map people, because Lord knows, hex maps, large hex maps are always a good thing to have. But let me get back to the FNE large scale map, which I was mentioning before, which is having it laminated. The great thing about having it laminated is that you can actually mark it up with either the, what is it called? China pencils, I think they're called, or not erasable. Yeah, grease pencils. You know, Chris. Thank you. And then there's the ones that you kind of used for the whiteboards, dry erase markers. Yeah. Dang it. Thank you, Chris, because I'm having problems here this evening as if it wasn't obvious. So I think those are some neat ideas. Obviously, I think one of those key areas to think about is, of course, upgrades. You know, upgrading your loved one or whoever you're getting it, late one, whoever you're getting this for, you know, what they play. Because I just think about my mother, and my mother always eschewed the idea of using gift cards. The reason why she hated gift cards and you giving gift cards is because that means you didn't spend the time to know the person you're giving a gift to. Now, I'll be honest, there are some people who that's what they want. They want gift cards because of, you know, they have some ideas of what they want to get. But if you try to get it for, what they want is too expensive for any one person. So if they get enough gift cards, they can actually save it all up and get the thing they want, you know, like maybe a laptop or something like that. You know, if they get enough from their rich uncles or aunts, or just piecing together one at a time. Because actually, that reminds me of listen to Leo Laporte on his Tech Guy program, where this one kid saved up all those checks and gift cards and all that kind of stuff that he got from his aunts and uncles and all his family, you know, over a period of time, and just saved that all up and got a brand new iPad. And that's the kind of child you want. You want a child that knows, save up your money. If you save the money, then you can buy with your money that thing. They will appreciate that money, that thing, a heck of a lot more, because they know how hard it was to save up that money. And that's always a better way of doing, obviously, than using a check card, a credit card, you know. But anyhow, excuse me, I had to take a moment break there because I was a tad bit parched. But anyhow, getting back to the other topic for this evening is what we wanted to continue on with the discussion about past products. You know, for those of you who are coming back into the SFU fold, you know, you knew Starfleet Battles back in the day, and you've been away for a while, and then you're coming back to play play the SFB, you know, and or possibly, you know, get introduced to some of the newer games. Now, I apologize because I know where I probably I just thought of something which I should have done, which I did not do. Dun, 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 dun. Dun, dun, dun. Which is, I want to look at the update thing that. Dun, dun, dun. No, this one? No. Oh, that reminds me. Sorry, I flipped over to the one of my tabs I have open, and this is one of the ship cards for it has the Andromeda and Recon Cobra, which reminds me about the captain's logs, the battle groups. They released the scenario. Let me. Bum, 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 bum. Oh, crud. Yeah. Let me look at. Da, da, da. Don't mind me. I'm on the discussion board. And I'm. Battle group. Okay. Now, did they just post it? Is that what they did? Okay. For those of you who've been anxiously waiting, here is the scenario. Oh, he matched us up. So here it is. This is what Steve Petrick posted. This is for the FedCom, because that's the one I posted. It's like, you know, I thought, I explained why I came up with what I came up with. Oh boy. Da-da-da. Okay, I'm assuming that I'm. Don't mind me. I want to. Yeah. I'm still going strong. Okay. I'm just. Don't mind me. I'm going to go. Okay, cool. Just want to make sure that I was still broadcasting because it hung. But anyway, okay, here it is. Steve Petrick posted. First Empire listed from the. Enters from the left side of standard map. Second Empire from the right side. Both enter on turn number. Doesn't know turn number. Something that's weird. Anywhere along their side of the map, both max speed. Weapon status 3. An object appears. In 2215 of the map, of course, which is the middle of the map. And the forces are charged with both gathering as much information. You misspelled information. Much information, labs, probes, special sensors. What the heck do you do with... I got... I have to look at this. This is FedCom. Especially there's no special sensors. I don't think there's even probes. In FedCom. But not shuttles. This is not a monster scenario. And denying information to the opposing force. I'm just glad I'm not going against Gary Carney. That would be interesting. The object will disappear from the map at the end of turn 15. Any ship can disengage from the map by exiting off the edge it entered from. Leaving any other edge will count as a ship being destroyed. I got a... Okay, don't worry.
Can you show it?
Show what?
Show the text of it.
Oh, sure. Show the text. Sure.
The text of what you're...
Oops. Sorry. Right there. Okay. Now, my understanding, I have to, is that we're, let me see, like, who am I, what's the Feg, what's the Klingon force? So they have fives. Wow. Obviously. Okay. Interesting. Okay, I was just looking at da 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 da. Yeah, tactics are the general idea for tactics that we use. It's really streets paragraphs, okay? So what I need to do is write up a tactics article for the scenario, basically. Andromedans versus the Klingons in this scenario. Given that I've got four F5s, one of them is a scout. I got to take a look at these guys. Because... F5... Excuse me. Oh. Huh. Didn't know that. Oh, sorry. Hey, Jeff. Hey, Jeff.
Good evening.
Evening. You made it.
Yeah, a little late tonight. Yeah, just a little late tonight. I'm seeing the gnashing of teeth has started over the battle force conditions scenario.
Yeah, yeah. I'm actually...
Yeah, you're not the only one.
Huh. I've got to look these ships up. That's what I gotta do. Okay, when did he post this? I'm just curious. He posted yesterday. Yesterday, okay. And I've got 2 weeks to create a tactics article, and I gotta look up these ships first. And obviously, I got an F5WV. Against, and F5WV is a carrier, so I'm gonna have to. My guess is that's probably in one of the whatchamacallits.
I think the F5V is in Module J.
In Module what?
J1.
No. This is for FedCon. They don't have they don't have carriers. It's supposed to be on carriers attacks.
That's right. Whoops. Sorry.
No circuits. No problem. I have to look to find out where would that be posted. I'm assuming it's like one of the newsletters. I just got an announcement of one of them the other day. I think yesterday or today, I forget which. So I have to look that up. Because I need to look at to see how many drones there are in all of these. Because normally, I think each F5 usually has one drone, though an F5E, actually an F5E, usually they don't have disruptors. Actually, do they have disruptors? Because if I call correctly, an F5E is an escort ship. And with an escort, you would have usually have ADRAX. And of course, the F5S is supposed to be a scout, which is always interesting when it comes to FedCom. Because I don't think I have any. Well, fortunately with FedCom, I don't have to worry about EW. So. Shall I just wait? Just wait for a little bit longer. I'll email you. I'll email you. To tell you about the situation. So, but anyway. Yeah. I have to look them up. But overall, you know, I think that. I have a very, very simple band on this. And given that I only have one Dizzy Dev, and I don't think the Dizzy Dev would be that useful against these, except for, well, actually, since this is FedCom, the good thing about FedCom is that you're not going to do a super stack. Well, you can, but you have there's a penalty for doing a super stack. And he might have them stacked, you know, too high, but that's about it. Because if I recall correctly, the maximum is 3 high if you want to do a super stack. So, I have to look up gathering information when it comes to labs and probes and special sensors. Because I'm Andromeda. I don't have shuttles. I don't have to worry about those. So it's going to be obvious that one thing you're going to have to do, I think both fleets, what they're going to be doing is they're going to be flying in as fast as possible, will be my guess. As I said, I have to look up the gathering information gathering when it comes to FedCom.
Well, if the FedCom information gathering rules mirror SFB rules, you're not going to have a probe launch until turn two. And the lab generation metric is based on your closest point of approach over the entire turn.
Right.
Scouts have to have a lab to pair with the scout channel for intelligence gathering. And so, if you're short of those kinds of systems, it's going to really, really cut your options down to gather what you can while you do your best to blow your enemy out of the void.
Okay. Holy cow. Okay.
That's what I'm looking at on the SFB side for my force.
Yeah. FedCom. Function of labs. Laboratories are used for certain scenarios to gather information points, perhaps on an enemy ship, monster planet, or some other subject. The information is calculated in points. Each lab can conduct one information gathering effort per turn on one target. During the energy allocation phase, the owner of any ship announced that its labs are studying on this turn. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Calculation, okay, use the chart below to determine the information points gained. The calculation is done in the weapons record phase. The scenario indicates the scenario rules will indicate the total number of points to succeed the mission. And you use, during the turn, keep track of the closest range between the ship and the object. I use the range chart below to determine the number of points gained. So, now, I'm assuming on this, because of it doesn't say anything. I'm assuming we can go to range zero without it killing us. Of course, would you want to? In theory, you should never go to range zero of an object that you don't know what the heck it's going to do.
True.
But at the same time...
Oh, that's what your satellite is for. And them in.
Understood, but that's all I got is satellite ships. But anyhow, I have to get to get any points whatsoever. I have to get to at least range six, because it goes from range zero to six, which is points from it goes 10, 8, 8, 6, 4, 4, 2. So if I range seven, I get zero. Range six.
Yeah, that's much more simplified than the SFB system.
Oh yeah, much more simplified. That's FedCom for you. Probes are tiny unmanned special self-guided space vessels, but a pack of a bump. Probes for information. Okay, probes fire for the information purpose cost 2 points of energy points. Each launcher can fire a maximum of one probe per turn. Probe travels up to six.
That's different.
Yeah, I know. The probe travels instantly. It does not use the movement, so up to six hexes to pick up and gains 20 points of information by any one object in that hex. Ooh. That's the one benefit I've got.
Yeah, probes. Yeah, probes on either side. Probes would be your best, your best source of intel.
Yeah.
Which means that the smallest vessels on just about any of these forces will probably be targeted by most people's tactics, because the faster you pop their little vessels, the more probes you kill in the rack.
Understood. And fun part for me is my opponent has four ships. I've got eight. I got one recon Cobra and six Vipers, or seven Vipers. So I've got eight probe launchers to start off with. So, and that would be interesting, because I can definitely, to me, what the Klingon would probably want to do is run as fast as close to the target as possible, and then target one of my Vipers and just wail at it. And let me look at this for a moment, because right, and it's got four PA panels in the front, three PA panels in the rear. So, and if I can go back here, if I fire all eight TRLs on a single ship, that'd be 80 points of damage if I get in close enough. And then that's not including my 32 phaser twos.
So it'll be an interesting contest to see exactly how that will play out.
Agreed. Of course, the question is going to be the tactics involved. The obvious thing that's going to be happening for both fleets is both sides are going to go running as fast as possible towards the center of the board, so that you can get to that. I need to look at this for a moment when it comes to probes, because what's the distance of the probes? Okay, six hexes, two hexes, pick up for any time that in that hex. So you have, looks like no matter what, you have to get to range six.
Yep.
To get,
if you don't mind a suggestion, I've got one for you.
Shoot.
Look up Vietnam era United States Air Force tactics, the old wagon wheel. You set up a wagon wheel formation around the high value target, mm-hmm. at six hexes range, and just keep dancing. No matter where he goes, when he tries to hammer, he's always in arc from people like further back on the wheel. It does diversify out what you can hit on any given turn, but it makes sure that you've got no blind spots.
Hmm.
And it's got a historical precedent.
Oh, understood. And I'm not still sure that works in FedCom, but...
True. But even just researching it and why they did it might inspire something on your end.
Mm-hmm. Oh, understood. Yeah, because there is the one possibility, of course, which is the splitting. To split the ships. Meaning have four of the ships focus on attacking the other side. And that's all they're going to do. And then you have the other four, which spend their time just circling the target as much as possible to gain as much as possible. That's one possible tactic. Now, the tough part in my mind is going to be, how do you keep the opponent from getting close to the target? Because that will limit the amount of information he can gather. So you want to be closer to the target than he is.
Well, with your force, all you really have to do is to keep a, not a super stack, but a very tight formation between him and the high value target to observe as best you can. And mm-hmm. when he makes a dive in with a unit, punish him for it by popping it or crippling it.
Mm-hmm.
You, if you're within six hexes of the high value target and he wants to close into probe range, he's going to have to hit range two or three with you if you play your cards right. And that's lethal from your stack of ships.
Agreed.
Well, here's a question. Is it who gets the most at the end total?
Yes.
If it's who gets the most at the end total and you've got, then it comes down to who has more capability. So if you have more capability than him, you could run in, get all the information, and run out. You don't have to blow him up because you'll outdo him. If he's got more than you, then you need to go in there and blow up several other ships so that they don't get in to gather the information. I mean, if you annihilate the other side, just to be bloodthirsty about it, and they can't gather any info, then you run back to the high-value target and get all the information at your leisure. That's kind of a thought there.
Understood. Yeah,
other side of it is that if he doesn't have, if you can cripple enough of his ships that he can't disengage out the appropriate map edge before you can mop him up, it doesn't matter how good his information gathering is, and you'll win by default based on exactly how much you take care of. The other side of the equation is that the how much he gathers is not how much he survives with.
Well, who survives with the most information? If both sides are able to disengage ship, then it's going to come down to who can get the most off.
Right. The other side of it is that that's only half of the orders. The other half of the orders is to do all that is possible to limit the amount of information the other side obtains.
Right.
Right. But do they get credit for obtaining it? And, you know, it being in their little black box when their ship explodes, or do they have to get it off the map for it to count?
Right. That actually, that's one of the questions that came up.
Yeah, I believe in reading between the lines, I believe it's the latter. I believe you have to. You can transfer information from a ship that's about to die off to another ship, and that ship can make a run for the border. But there's not much mechanism for that. But yeah, I believe it has more to do with what information gets away rather than what the total sum total of information gathered.
Okay, I'm looking for a response. Okay, yeah, Jeff. The lab information gathered can be transferred to a friendly ship to that player on map, but cannot be transferred to off the map other than by a ship leaving the map with the information. I.e., you have to have at least one ship that survives and leaves the map.
Right.
Oh, but annihilate the guy. Totally. And you're good.
Yeah.
And don't forget, you know, if you manage to knock him out before turn 15, you can just park at range zero and just maximize your lab return.
Yep. And one thing actually I just noticed that Chris pointed out is that the F5E has 4 drone racks. Which obviously produces a minor issue. In that, I have to fight off the drones.
Well, you've got the phasers for it.
Yeah.
Oh, look, spam.
Yeah, I got 32 phaser too, so I think I'm gonna have phasers to knock them off. That's why I said I have to look at all the ships. There's 4 ships. You know, I'm assuming that the F5WC has 2 drone racks. I don't know what the F5WV does or the F5S. So I have to look those up because I need to know how many drones they have to know what tactics I need to use, because obviously any tactics, any plans that I have, I must take into consideration what he's going to do with those drones, because I'm assuming he's going to use those drones as, well, you do an SFB, which is mobile terrain. The idea would be to launch the drone. If he has enough drones, launch the drones ahead of him, and have it so that at the very least the ships that he's launching those drones at might turn off, to limit the number of ships that I can bring in to get close to the target. Now, the thing is, if he spreads the drones out, like one drone per, then all that's going to happen is that he's going to use the phasers of the Vipers, you know, to knock down the phasers. I mean, knock down the drones in that case, you know. So should be interesting, to say the release, to see what tactics I come up with. And let me look at it, because I'm pretty sure Steve Patrick said to send it as an email. Yeah. Must be submitted by email to Steve Patrick. So they're not going to be posted on the discussion board. They're going to be emailed to Steve Patrick himself. So I've got until the 15th. The 15th is what? That's going to be, I think, next Sunday. Is it next Sunday?
Well, today's the first,
no.
So add 14 to that.
No,
it'll
it's
be 14, Friday afternoon.
So it's 2 weeks from today. Okay. Okay. So I've got basically 2 weekends to deal to work with it. I mean, I'll look at what my opponent has when it comes to drones and, of course, heavy weapons, because looks like at the very least the F5E doesn't have any heavy weapons, just phasers, which means that we both have to get into the same range for us to beat on each other. Even then, I have to calculate the average damage caused by each ship, at different ranges and so forth. But anyhow, I think we're gonna wrap it up with that because of I have no more time to talk about the original topic we were going to discuss afterwards. No, Chris, it's not going to be a tournament game. This is battle group for that's going to be published in the captain's logs, the double nickel captain's log number 55. So, should be interesting. What'll be interesting actually is because there's going to also be an SFB Online and FedCom Online article that usually goes along with it, and of course, a Starfleet Warlord. So, I got. Figure out what's happened for a while in those two categories and start writing those up too. So anyway, don't mind me. Please tell me I got that right. No, I don't think I did. Excuse me. There it goes. Okay. So, anyhow, Doug, it was a pleasure hanging out with you.
Thank you for having me on again. I hope everyone in the chat has a good holiday or set of holidays. But I'll see you guys, talk to you, hear you, so on. And you as well, Paul.
Okay. Yeah, we're
gonna have a default, just thinking.
What was that?
Especially with all the choir practice coming up for Sweetie.
Okay.
Having to watch the little guy.
Mm-hmm. Got to keep him out of trouble. Okay, well, have a good night.
Thanks, you too.
Jeff, glad to have you on. You drive safe out there on the roads?
I'll do that. And have happy holidays around from this end, too.
Will do. Okay, have a good night. Iggy, just one quick thing before I completely sign off. You want to find Starfleet Warlord, go to play-buy-e-mail.com. That's where you'll find out about Starfleet Warlord, which is a game that it's in print. You just if you want a hard copy, ask me for a hard copy. I'll print it out and I'll mail it to you. It gets expensive that way, but I can do it. ADB currently doesn't actually produce a hard copy. I've talked to them in the past about that, and they've got Gene got busy, so that never happened. It was an Agents of Gaming game, and now I run it. I license it, and Bruce Scrolls himself told me to modify the game any way I see fit. So that's why I'm paying him the licensing fee for, to do whatever I want with it. And yes, I still have to send him a check every quarter. So anyway, had a nice little discussing about some ideas to get Christmas gifts for your loved ones. Also, got to discuss about the battle group, which is going to be interesting for the FedCom side. Fortunately, the great thing about the FedCom is that you can mob rules. You don't have to worry about control, you know, and have the proper hierarchy of ships and so forth, unlike the SFB. And someone, but of course, with SFB, someone already took the Andromedans. I've not actually looked to see who they matched up with for their scenarios. But anyhow, I am Paul Franz. I bid you a good night.